Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Oh, we're having a war!
We're having a war!
Hey, everybody.
A civil war. Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name's Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Civil War.
Civil War. A polite war.
Yeah. It was wild when Spider-Man showed up, though.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
Yeah, that was pretty unexpected. Yeah. When Captain America's mighty shield bounced off the side of Jesse Plemons' head to rescue them in that one scene.
All right. So,
Hello, everyone.
Spoilers. Spoilers for Civil War. This is Alex Garland's Civil War, directed and written by Alex Garland.
Alex Garland, starring half of the cast of Devs.
Yeah, yeah.
Alex Garland and then has also his Kirsten people Dunst. That he uses. Yeah, yeah, and then also Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah,
Kirsten Dunst this and movie, the cast of Devs.
Yep, this movie is fairly controversial, and I mean by design. One imagines.
Yeah.
It was written pre January 6th, but of course,
it
probably
not,
hits
it
different.
It was not
post.
Made pre January 6th, and I want to talk about that a lot.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Like right now, it's like poker. I don't know what cards you have, and you don't know what cards I have.
All right.
We haven't talked about it. You just got out of it.
Just
I've had
got
a
out
day
of it.
To kind
You've
of
had
think
a day
about
to
it.
Think about it. All right. So let me tell you what I think, having just got out of it.
Okay.
I think this is not Alex Garland's best movie. I think it's very good. I think it is a little superficial, but it's no more superficial than Ex Machina. I think it's very similar to Ex Machina in its approach and in its perspective. I think this movie is an indictment of America. 100% an indictment of America and Americans and how Americans will simply deal with the Civil War if it happens.
So I like where your head's at. I have a slightly different view of it.
Sure.
And so I'm excited. I think so at the start of this, I think it goes without saying that this is an extremely well-made movie.
Oh yeah.
The sound design.
Yeah. The sound design's amazing.
Yeah, it wants the violence to feel scary, and it is just through the sounds of the bullets.
Because it's not graphic. Most of it is you don't even see most of it.
Yeah,
and that's
but you do see a lot.
You see a lot, but you
it's
see
very
a,
violent.
You see a lot of the aftermath, or like the moment of as captured by war correspondents, which is very intentional.
Yeah, I think in terms of what this movie means. I do think it felt so. I agree. There was this thing going around where there people are mad that the journalists in it are impartial. I don't think they actually are. So that's one thing. I think politically speaking, it's a little cowardly.
A little.
And what I mean by that is that it is trying to have its cake and eat it too. I think it's kind of going to fall on deaf ears a little bit. And I think that's a little bit because of some missteps in the movie. I agree with you that it is, in fact, about that, about the idea of how Americans will kind of like there's a very specific scene in this movie where they go to a town that's not affected by the war and they're acting like everything's fine. Right.
Yeah. And there's snipers on the rooftop.
Yeah.
It's like the Kirsten Dunst is like, man, this is like a place I forgot about. And the old black guy says, this is a place I remember.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I guess there's a lot of pieces here.
I think it's a lot like, let me get this out. Like, I think it's a lot like Ex Machina. Yeah. And I think it's similar to when we talk about this a bit on Spielboys, because Spielberg does this a lot too, where it'll be examining a topic and just saying a lot of things that are true or feel true about the topic, but not delving too deep in them, just presenting the whole array, the whole smorgasbord of things that are around this topic. And that's very much what is happening in Ex Machina, because Ex Machina doesn't make a judgment at the end. It asks right. you to do that. And this kind of does the same thing, where it puts all of the information out and it's like, look, this is the situation. We don't know what the conflict is. We don't know what the nature of the conflict is, but we can infer it. Like they include enough buzzwords, like the president dissolving the FBI, the Antifa massacres. Like you can kind of infer what the conflict is. And also, like, they point out that the separatist coalitions are not on the same page. Like, I've seen a lot of hand-wringing over California and Texas being the Western forces, but they point out in the movie that they're not organized. They're not working right. together. I just wanted to get all that out. Like, the movie's getting criticism for being superficial, which I totally see and totally get, but I don't think the movie was trying to be anything other than that. I think this movie was literally that scene where she's photographing herself in the mirror, right? It's holding a mirror up, and it's like, this is an indictment of a culture that has been so relatively safe. Certain strata of American culture has been safe from modern conflict totally. It has only right. experienced modern conflict through a camera lens. So there's this fetishistic desire for a civil war. There's a glamorization of it. You know, like I don't know that you would have, maybe you would, I don't know, but just speaking as my experience as an American, like, the lost cause myth of the South has created, like, such a glamorized, romanticized idea of civil war and the nobility of civil war and standing up, you know. And this movie is very much about how, like, it may or may not be true, but the movie seems to be suggesting Americans are uniquely in this position because they've never experienced this.
It's definitely, I read a review, because I've been reading a lot, because I came out of it almost not sure what to feel. There's a few layers here, but that it's more about other countries. Like, it's kind of more about how we think about wars in other countries yeah. as opposed to a civil war here. And that, yeah, we trivialize them. We don't think about what's going on in these places. And so to, like, set it here is to try to, like, almost humanize it in a way. I think it's very muddled. Like,
he's literally just trying to put it in America's backyard, because it's important to keep in mind, Alex Garland is not an American filmmaker. He's English. So this is a movie about an American civil war from someone who is not American.
I think so. I guess the movie failed.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I disagree, so, but please.
Yeah, I'll go into why. So we're talking about the politics. They mentioned the Antifa massacre. Mm-hmm. And it's a three-term president.
You can spin that either way. Yeah.
Exactly. You can spin that either way.
But I'm saying, when you take it into consideration with the other things that they drop, like the dissolution of the FBI, the fact that it's an EPA truck that gets bombed in the beginning by the...
It's a right-wing president.
It's Donald Trump. It's a right-wing president.
But because they don't just say that, that's what makes it a little politically cowardly, because they want like people like Tim Pool, idiots like Tim Pool, to be like, actually it was Antifa doing the massacre. They want everybody to see it, so they don't want to take a
right,
side.
Right, I know why
they heavily imply a side.
Right, it's implied that the U.S. is, well, I mean, they go back and forth, and that's part of the, I think that's part of the commentary about the war correspondence, which I don't. That's the part that I feel
and
is the most muddled.
Here's the problem, is that I don't think this was the point, right? And I've seen that argument. A lot of people are going, you always don't get it. The point is what sides. And it's like, but you made a movie called Civil War. It's coming out right before an election. Maybe in 20 years from now, we'll be able to look at this film a different way. But right now, it's a very, like, incendiary thing to do, right? Is to make a movie about American Civil War right before be for a very heated election. And to make these little hints, right, to even mention Antifa, is to say, like, okay, this isn't an alternate reality. This is our reality. So he's calling a lot of attention. Yeah, he's calling a lot of attention to the politics, but he's not saying anything politically. He's trying to step back and kind of nerf it politically.
But he's not being specific to American politics.
Yeah, but he just mentioning Antifa makes me go, like, well, you've given us something, right? Like, you shouldn't have mentioned, everything should have been made up. If you were going to not make it about politics.
Like, I think the more incendiary thing to be releasing this at the same time as is what's going on in Gaza, because that's what this movie's about.
Right.
This movie is about our ability to ignore this shit.
But I think, see, this is what I mean, is I think everybody's going to forget that because it's called Civil War. Because it became an American thing. He could have just made a movie about war journalists. Right. But he did it. He made the setting America, and so
because I think he's mad at Americans.
Oh yeah, but this is what I mean by it being a failure.
View of America. But yeah, I'm sorry. Continue.
This is what I mean, that it's a very well made movie that I think is a failure. I don't think it's going to do anything. So I watched it in a crowd that was kind of shocking. And what I mean by that, and maybe you had a different experience, but this crowd was fascinating to me. And I went through a kind of journey with them. Because I want to talk about the other thing about this movie is it's supposed to be showing how horrifying war is, right? The violence. That's a big layer of this. Is to show, like, look at what it's
sort of. It's more about showing how we're conditioned to just accept it, the banality of it.
Right. What's shocking to me is that exact thing was happening in the audience I was in. And what I mean was, like, at first I thought it was like Marvel brain rot, but I actually don't blame the audience. So what happened very fast that was shocking to me is my audience started like laughing when there was a joke, they'd laugh. When there was a tense moment where, spoilers, where Jesse Plemons is asking people where they're from, and the guy says Hong Kong, my audience went like, oh, you idiot, why would you do that? When he gets hit by a car, everybody cheered like Captain America just showed up. Like, woo, yeah! And it was that throughout. They were watching it like it was fucking Independence Day, and they were watching, like, the dog get saved. They were watching a movie.
Oh.
And the thing is that at first I was like, I can't fucking believe they're having so much fun watching this horrifying movie that's supposed to be about how violence is terrible. And then I realized the movie sets that up. For example, that scene I'm describing where Jesse Plemons, which is he's amazing, obviously.
Yeah.
He kills those two guys and gets saved. That is just a scene from a movie, like any other Hollywood movie. They introduce two characters, right? The scene before, the moment they introduced them, I said, well, those two are dead. And then they kill them off in the next scene.
Yeah, but you're...
And so ultimately, compared to this, like, No Country for Old Men or The Sopranos or anything that's dealt with violence a lot, to really show the effects of violence, you have to kind of be anti-narrative, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is, like, spoilers for No Country for Old Men, they show a death in a very anticlimactic way, right? The Sopranos famously ends in a way that basically goes like, no, you don't get to see how this story ends. And this movie kind of wants to have its cake and eat it too when it comes to how it's showing this violence. It is basically telling a Hollywood story that is very much the same beats as any other adventure movie, but it's trying to also tell us how bad violence is. And I feel like it doesn't accomplish both of those things, or it doesn't accomplish that second thing of the first.
I think the violence gets downplayed a lot, and that isn't as impactful as it maybe should have been, but I think it's less about narrative structure being like a Hollywood movie and more about that's kind of what he's saying about war correspondence, right? Like, he's saying the duty... This is what I think he's saying, because this is the most muddled part of the film, is what it's saying about journalists and journalism and the act and importance of documenting things like this at great personal risk, and even when you're just documenting the widespread, massive loss of human life, it needs to be documented, right? Because what's the alternative? We don't know about it?
Right.
So it's more, I think that the reason the movie ultimately comes away with not really making you, it doesn't make you feel the horror of violence. It makes you not feel it. And I think that's intentional because that's what the characters are feeling. Like that's the journey of Kaylee Spaney, the young war correspondent right. who tags along, is she learns how to shut off her humanity. Right. She learns how to stop freaking out. Like she has the journey. Like she gets shown the two guys hanging in the car wash by the separatist dude, but who's more genial and wants his photo taken and is actually kind of a nice guy, you know, in contrast to Jesse Plemons, who's a U.S. Army guy, but he's a fucking psychopath.
Right.
And she gradually like puts a cap on her emotions because she has a huge emotional response to that scene. Like, you got to put a cap on that. You have to just not think about it or else you won't get through this. And then she almost gets shot. And then she asks Kirsten Dunst, like, if I had gotten shot, would you have just filmed me? And she's like, what do you think? And like later she climbs through cars on the open. Like we see her taking more chances and being more cavalier and getting more into the shit, like photographing dead bodies, until eventually in the climax at Act Three, when the Western forces are storming the White House and she's with them, like on the front lines, she's not reacting to anything. She almost gets killed. Kirsten Dunst pushes her out of the way and gets shot and killed in the process. And she just photographs Kirsten Dunst and then leaves her body in the hallway to photograph the president being executed, which is the end of the film. Like, that's why I think the movie comes away with... I don't actually think the movie is trying to... I think it wants you to feel horrified by the violence, but not... It's not trying to... it's not like displaying that.
It's
like,
hard.
Like you,
this is
you,
what
you
I mean,
think about
that
it later
it
and you
succeeds.
Really... Because he's trying to make you okay with the horrifying violence. And it's not until later when you're reflecting on it that you're like, wait! Like yeah. That was a scene where Jesse Plemons was pouring lime on a mass grave of an entire town full of people he just killed for, I don't know, we don't know what reason. We can see that it was right. for no reason, probably. And then the old guy comes in and saves them by hitting Jesse Plemons with the car and they all get in. And we forget that it's at, you know, like Kaylee Spaney gets knocked into the mass grave and we just sort of forget that it's a mass grave and she gets yanked out. Like, I think that's intentional. Like, I think you don't realize it until that's how I'm interpreting is that was his intent, where it's like the film is about how these characters are losing their humanity. And it's Kirsten Dunst and the old guy both reject it and they end up dead.
I was going to say, Kirsten Dunst's character and the young girl basically swap places.
Yeah, they're exactly. And we can...
Like emotionally. They emotionally swap places. At the end, one of the things that happens, Kirsten Dunst's arc kind of completes where she just loses it. Like in the middle of combat,
yeah, she
just
out.
Starts weeping and
she
freaks
has a,
out.
She has a full-blown panic attack. And they just... Yeah. It's one of my favorite scenes in the
and
movie.
And her act of saving her is something she would never have done at the beginning.
No, she never would have done it at the beginning of the movie. No, yeah. Absolutely not. She only does it because she saw Sammy do it and Sammy gets killed saving them. The old guy, yeah. The old guy who said the same thing. He's like, you can't do this. You're all going to get killed. It's stupid that you're going out there. And they kept saying, you're old. You need to stay back. You're old. You can't run. You're going to slow us down. He ends up fucking saving them and getting shot to death in the process. So like, and we can sort of infer like Kaylee Spaney gets invited onto the trip with them because Kirsten Dunst's partner, this guy, Joel, invites her along, and you sort of it's never explicit, but it's implied that he invited her along because he was hitting on her and he's hoping to maybe have sex with her, and so there's like this implication that like maybe that's how Kirsten Dunst got into, I don't know, there's a subtext there about women's role, yes, in this that maybe I'm reading too much into, but anyway, it just it was like the passing of the torch, but the most, like the last image of the movie of her watching Dunst get shot, and we see her make the decision because she's trying to decide whether she's going to be a human or whether she's going to be a documentarian in that moment. And she decides to be a documentarian and just films her friend and mentor dying and then runs into the Oval Office to see Nick Offerman get shot. And so we're watching the passing of the torch in the worst way possible. And I think that's the ultimate message of the movie, right? Is this is the world we are leaving for our young people. And this is how we are training them to exist in this world, by detaching from their humanity. I don't necessarily think that's entirely true. I think that's what the movie is saying.
Oh, no, yeah. I think you're right, but I think it still fails at saying that, because I think the other stuff is so loud. For example, the ending. Like you're saying, the ending is her losing her humanity to go get the shot. Why do we need to see the shot at the end? Like, why is that the ending moment then? Why is, because, oh, see, we got him. And it ends on almost like a cool line.
Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it?
Because
why
that's not what it's about.
Why wouldn't it be dragging Muammar Gaddafi out into the street and ripping him limb from limb? Like, it's killing the American president.
But isn't that the part? So isn't that pandering to the wrong feelings? And what I mean by that is, you're watching this movie and that's what you want to see. You want to see it get completed. You want to see the Civil War get done. You want to see the bad guy get ripped out and killed.
Until you get to the end and realize you don't want it anymore. Or maybe you don't want it anymore.
But that's the thing, is the movie doesn't really treat it that way.
I disagree, man. That whole scene with her watching Dunst die. That's asking us, the audience.
But that's not the last scene.
Do we accept it?
I mean, it's
before it.
Yes, and that's the thing, is we're used to these plot points. What I mean by that is, like, we're used to heroic character dies before, you know, they throw the ring in the mountain. And by showing that they're like, but they did it, and we're celebrating, and like, it's this last scene where he goes, I need a quote, and he says, don't let them kill me, and he's like, that'll do. It's a very badass moment, and that's what I mean, is like, I feel like the movie wants to be both. It wants to have kind of these cool scenes.
Disagree.
I think that muddles the message you're describing.
I see that. I completely disagree. I think the point of that scene was to hollow it out. It was to hollow out the victory, right? It's like when you, this is a bad, maybe not the best example, not a fully bad example, but when you finally get to the Return of the Jedi and Vader dies, you don't want him to die anymore. Like, when you finally get to the end of this movie, it's like, it's the thing we've been wanting the whole time, and you get there and it's like, oh, this doesn't feel right. This feels wrong. And then it happens, and it's just like, it's supposed to be this badass thing, and then it just kind of ends. Or, I mean, I don't even know if it's supposed to be this badass thing. Like,
that's the thing.
He's asking him for a quote, right? And he says, please don't let them kill me. He says, that'll do. Because that's like, those are the quotes you get from these people, from these despots that get ripped out of seats of power. It's always some embarrassingly, or not even embarrassingly, some nakedly human thing. It's always some nakedly human thing.
But that's because he's the bad guy in that moment. My audience didn't pick up on any subtleties there. They saw the bad guy die. They don't care that it's the president.
I'm just saying, I am arguing that may be how the audience you were in took it. That is not how the movie I saw presented it.
I'm not sure how much of a difference there's going to be. That's why I think this movie might have... I still think it kind of failed at what it was trying, or any message it was trying to make.
Well,
I think I've seen a lot of reviews that say the way to interpret this film is to not think much about it. Like, oh, it's really good if you just don't think about it. That's the thing, is like, I don't think so either. I agree that he was trying to say something. I think it got lost. And I think there's too many levels to it. The fact that he's dealing with journalists, I don't know. Maybe this is because we know people who do this stuff. Maybe. But like, the journalists right away felt almost too cynical for me. A character like Kirsten Dunst, I'm like, do people like that actually exist? Do they exist that way? Like, he's kind of dumping a lot of symbolism just on her to represent this relationship we have. But I would argue the people who are there taking the pictures aren't unaffected by it at all. And aren't impartial.
No, but you become jaded, I'm sure. I mean, there's war correspondence and photojournalism is not a new thing, even though it's, you know, having a moment right now.
But I'm not sure ultimately what he's saying.
Many, many decades old. I think what he's saying, like, okay, like I said at the beginning, I think he's just laying a table out of stuff and not making a whole lot of judgment calls about it. So I think what he's saying is that in order to be a war correspondent like this, you have to tamp down some of your humanity. And I think he's saying that, therefore, extrapolated from that, that detachment of humanity is disseminated in how these things are covered, particularly in America. And I don't think he's laying that entirely or even mostly at the feet of journalists. I think it's just there on the table of things he's laying out for us.
But I think that's the problem, is that he's just laying these things out kind of openly. And like you're saying, which is like letting the audience make these moral decisions or something like that.
And it sounds like your audience sure did make some judgment calls.
Exactly. But I think the movie also, if you're not like, see, if you're not like a film nerd, if you're not thinking about what everything means necessarily, and you're just like, okay, it's a Saturday, I'm going to go out watch a movie. Let's see this movie. I saw some trailers for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to think about it that much, especially if you're not online. And so like, you just think like, okay, like we've seen, you know, White House is Down. Like we've seen movies like this, right? Where it's like, oh, America in Peril.
Right. And how many of those, I've really got to pose this question. How many of those movies is the bad guy dragged crying and begging out from under a desk, and it's filmed from a third person perspective of somebody casually, anticlimactically shooting him in the chest, mid plea, and then they both kind of stand there for a second uncertainly and look like awkwardly at the camera? That doesn't feel badass to me. I do not think this movie portrayed his death as badass.
But it portrayed him as cowardly, and a lot of movies have done that.
I think it portrayed, I think they portrayed him as human in that moment. Because he's not any different than what we saw our main characters do when Jesse Plemons was going to murder them.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Like, I think if you're watching the movie, we have seen people beg for their lives in the exact same way as he does at the end. And they were people we cared about.
Right.
I don't see how you watch that scene and are confused.
I think because he's the powerful guy. He's the guy who caused it all to happen. You don't feel that empathy for him. If, for example, they did a thing where he was also there with his family, killed his family
they
too.
They maybe should have done that. They should
have done that. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it
there's a couple.
I'm not saying that its message was necessarily bad. I'm saying that it didn't do a good job.
Let me throw
failed.
A couple of images at you. There's one real quick one that really hit me. It's when they're breaching the White House and they're walking through, it's before they get to the press briefing room, and they enter one of the rotundas, and it's two staffers laying in the middle of the hall.
And that was great.
The woman, at least, has clearly shot herself.
Yeah, that's an MS. It looks like an old MS
fucking, like, that's an incredible
image.
It's Nazi bunker, sure. But it's also, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved that. It was a fascinating idea. But yeah, it's Nazi bunker, right? Which is like, it's all going to hell. They say right before they go into the White House, they're like, it's just the Secret Service. Like, the war is over. It's just this one building, basically. Yeah,
it's just the Secret Service. And they say it's just the Secret Service and I forget how they describe them. But Patriots, like, basically.
It's basically his staff. And like everybody's jumped ship, it looks like. And
I think they say true believers, something like that.
Yeah. And I think, by the way, I think this is a powerful message to our leaders, because I think that's the thing, is it is, weirdly enough, I actually think this is a fairly optimistic take on a civil war. And what I mean by that is this movie, it shows the ending. It shows like, okay, you want a third term, we're going to drag you out behind your desk and shoot you.
But what happens next, Dave?
What?
But what happens next, Dave?
I know. But like, I don't think people are thinking about that.
No, they're clearly not. I mean, that's, yeah.
I don't think audiences are thinking about that. And that's what I mean by like where it ends. It sort of ends where any adventure or action movie would end. Bad guy dies. We got him. We got the bad guy. He was on the TV making the speeches.
Yes, but it's not. That's it doesn't end the same way that Demolition Man ends. It doesn't. It's not optimistic when it ends.
No, of course not. But it hits all the same beats. It hits all those beats.
Yes,
along
and
the
I
way.
Think that's on purpose, Dave.
It might be. I just don't think it works.
That's fair.
I do not think it worked because of that reason. I think it's almost too satisfying, the story. It gives the audience exactly what they want.
I don't know what to say to that. It's almost satisfying.
It does. It gives them every beat along the way that
until,
you'd want to
see. Until you think about it for 30 seconds with like any amount of critical thinking. Like, I totally understand what you're saying.
I mean, what I'm hoping is that everybody came out of it feeling that I did, because then that I think that's also the point, right? The point of the movie is what you're saying. It is to show this adventure where horrifying.
And have you not feel good about it at the end?
Right. What I'm saying is I don't think most people felt that way. I'm scared that most people didn't feel that way. I don't think people are going to necessarily get that from this. Because I think we're so... I don't know. It's hard to rattle an audience.
I know Americans certainly, I mean, we're so divided. Like we've pointed out, you can hear the Antifa massacre and come away with it with two different, completely different interpretations. Even though the movie, as we said, the movie seems to pretty heavily indicate that this is a right-wing president, but like it kind of ultimately doesn't matter. Because that's for all the reasons that we just described.
Yeah, I think
I wonder if that's a failing of the movie or if it's just it not being understood in this particular time, because how many movies and books and other pieces of art have come out that were not understood in their time?
Oh, for sure. That's what I was saying. 30 years from now,
for sure,
it'll probably be looked at different.
Yeah.
But right now, this film coming out when it came out and what he's trying to do, if this is supposed to be a message for America, it is falling on deaf ears. And it is, I think, unfortunately designed that way. I think if you want to rattle people, and actually make them go, like, why did that happen? I think you have to attack it narratively.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Spoilers for The Sopranos, everyone. Skip ahead if you haven't watched it. Tom, you've seen it, right?
Everybody knows how it ends.
All right. The ending of The Sopranos was very controversial when it came out, because it just sort of ends. Tony Soprano is in a restaurant. His family's there. He's listened to some Journey, like we all have. Mm-hmm. He looks up to see his daughter walk in, and the episode ends. And originally, the creator wanted to have about 3 minutes of blackness. And he wanted to make it very clear. But the HBO was like, no, you're not doing that. Just cut to credits. And what it's symbolizing is the fact that in that moment, Tony Soprano is assassinated. He's dead.
Yeah, you don't know you're dead when you die.
Exactly. His story
is over. It just stops. Your story just stops.
And you're watching seasons of him killing people. And you realize that's what he was doing this whole time to these people. We got all wrapped up in the adventure and story of this mobster. We've kind of forgot. And so, like, by telling us, no, it's done. Shutting off the lights. It's over. He's dead. They essentially blue ball us. And people got mad.
It
pissed people
death
off.
Death is...
Exactly. No Country
for
Old Men does a similar
thing.
That's
why death is tragic. It's because you die in the middle of life.
Exactly. So, for example...
With so many things left unfinished.
Right. So, like, if this movie really wanted to kind of make a commentary about that, the moment... I'm not saying they should have done this exact thing because it's Sopranos did it, but then you end the film after Kirsten Dunst shot. You say, you don't get to see. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? You do something to upset the audience. That girl, Jesse Plemons should have killed her. She should, like, because they set up characters specifically to die, we don't feel those. They're great performances, so we feel that scene, don't get me wrong. But, like, if you really wanted to rattle audiences, I think you have to rattle them narratively. Otherwise, you're still giving them what they want. And that's what I mean. You're giving them a full story where the characters you start with are the characters you end with, and people die heroically and some people don't, and there's character arcs. And so I think you're right of the intent of this movie, for sure. I just think that it's almost accidentally designed to distract people from that intent, because the setting it also in an American Civil War is such a loud thing. Everybody online is arguing about that, right? Of like, oh, the movie is not taking sides. How could it? Or, oh, these people are clearly Republicans and these are the, no, these people. Like, I feel like all that
I'm
shit.
I'm curious to see how international critics and audiences interpret the movie.
Right. Because, yeah, going back to the start, I think this is a very well-made movie. And I mean through and through.
Yeah, I think, and this is my interpretation, it feels like he went for a certain type of subversion, right?
Right.
Like, presenting this story with the familiar beats and structure and character relationships. But it's all for, this is the ironically... I say this ironically because Kaylee Spaney plays a very Ellie-like character in this movie, but it's similar to The Last of Us, right? Where it gives us like the same kind of beats and narrative thrusts of a traditional American hero story, but we don't feel good about it. Like, they don't hit exactly the same way. I think that's what he was going for.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to say it was the wrong thing, but I definitely agree with everything that I've read from American reviews of it and just anecdotal experience in my theater and your theater. It seems like it's not effective on mainstream American audiences.
I don't think so. And I think that's why it can be a very good movie and also failing to do what it wants, because I don't want to be mean to people and say it's underestimating people, or because here's the thing, it is a movie. And I saw an Alex Garland interview where he's talking about like January 6th as it relates to this movie, and he was talking about, you know, there's a scene where the Lincoln Memorial is blown up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I wanted to show people that like horror. I wanted to show people the horror, and so I chose monuments. In my theater, people just went, oh shit. But you know why? It's not their fault. We've seen monuments explode a million times in movies.
Yeah.
It's the gag of Independence Day. We're used to America exploding in movies. I don't think it's the fault of the people watching that they are aware they're watching a movie, right? You can like, and I guess that's what I mean, is the people watching, they're watching a movie, they're having fun with it, they're enjoying the movie. The only way to rattle someone then is to ruin the movie. You have to ruin their movie for them if you want them to. That's why I was thinking, like, watching this the whole time, I was like, yeah, people are just loving this. It's like people are really enjoying this movie about America's descent into civil war.
About how America had a near-miss coup and is pretending like it didn't for the past 4 years.
But like, that's what's very
funny. The storming of the White
House
at the end of the movie is just the fucking footage from January 6th.
Right.
You said at the beginning he wrote this before it. Sure, this movie was not fucking made before January 6th because it's all over the movie.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. That's the loudest thing this movie is saying. It's like, we have come to the brink of civil war and we're pretending that it didn't happen. And we're doing these weird arguments on cable television, these semantic arguments over whether or not we actually saw what we saw. Like, that's what this movie is indicting.
I'm worried that this movie accidentally does the opposite. So, you know, who's that guy? The guy who made Funny Games. How he talked about how he never made...
I was going to say Starship Troopers, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example. Yeah. How he said, the director of Funny Games said he'd never make a movie about...
Michael Haneke?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's a very famous clip, because for other reasons, where he says he'd never make a movie about the Holocaust. And he talks about the moment you movify, sure, something tragic like that, you're trivializing it. And I think the example he gave was the idea of the showerheads and showing like these moments of suspense. I think he was talking about Schindler's List.
He was, yeah.
Where it's like, is the water going to come out or is gas? The moment you're making a cinematic version of that it feels trivialized to him. This is his, yes, this is not his exact words.
I mean, and that is a, I mean, that's a discussion that's at the heart of this movie too. Like,
absolutely.
It's that, yeah, that's a long, long discussion.
But the movie is ironically about that and also might do that, right? Like, it's about, oh, Americans are so used to this idea of violence. Let's make a movie about it. And then Americans are watching the movie just being like, yeah, this is fun. Because we watch movies, I think there's this, there's a disconnect between what we watch in movies, right, and reality. Like, when I watch a movie, it's, I have a different, you know, it's different from watching something real violence happening versus movie violence, no matter how real the movie makes it.
Right, but you have a logistical center of your brain that engages with the movie on a certain wavelength, understanding what the movie is putting down, right?
Like, right.
You don't watch this movie the same way you watch a Friday the 13th movie.
No, of course not. And this movie has some horrifying violence, don't get me wrong. Like, I think he is going for it a little bit. He is trying to show the violence.
He is, a little, yeah.
As grounded and horrifying. I'm just still just, not
it never,
sure
it never
he
lingers on it.
It.
It's always like, it makes it feel very like we're witnessing it as opposed to really lingering or luxuriating on it as like creating an image for film.
Right. I just ultimately, we keep talking about it as being like, we think the intent is this, or like he's laying the, like, I just think ultimately it doesn't accomplish what it wanted to do. And I think a lot of that is just the basic idea of taking an idea and making it a movie, putting it in movie form, having character
arcs, you also can't control how people react to a thing.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean,
but if the purpose of making a movie is to make your audience feel a certain way,
right?
That's the thing, is like, if he wanted the audience to feel like a civil war in America is a bad thing, and to feel revolted by it, you kind of have to make a movie that's fundamentally revolting. And the problem with that is people don't go see your movie. You don't go see the revolting movie, right? You don't go see the really upsetting movie. Or the movie that's narratively fucked up.
Right, because I think where maybe he lost his way, which is ironic because it's a thing that this movie seems to be saying very loudly, is that you can't shock people with images.
Yeah. I don't think you can. Not in movies. We've seen it all.
Not
right?
in real fucking life, Dave.
Yeah, not in real life.
Like, again, like, this movie is more about Gaza, I think. But, yeah. I mean, of course, he started writing it before that happened, too. But, like, I mean, not before the whole conflict was... I don't know. It's a whole thing.
It's also A24 saying this was their dabble into blockbusters. They were like, we want to make a blockbuster. And I'm like, I'm not sure this should be considered a blockbuster.
I mean, this is like, my theater experience. I had three younger people sitting in front of me, and they got up and left 20 minutes in.
Wow. Yeah, probably because they thought it was going to be
it was going to be like an action movie or like an Independence Day type movie, and that is not what this is.
Right. Well, that's and that's the thing.
And I think, like, that's interesting to talk about, is that there again, I'm inferring a lot, but is there, it sounds like your audience was sort of primed for that too. Is this being received as like a Roland Emmerich movie?
Exactly. Because, well, you think about it, Roland Emmerich did a movie about climate change, and
he did
just
a movie
like,
about the White House getting attacked.
Right, that's what I mean, is like making a movie like, oh, we got to teach Americans how bad this is, let's show that, like, Washington getting blown up, and it's like, yeah,
okay,
we've seen it.
Hold on, like, to be fair, that is not why Roland Emmerich made a single one of his movies.
He did not make his movies to educate
Americans.
This movie, I'm saying this movie,
right,
is like, we've seen it a million times. So, like, that idea where he said, like, in the interview, I wanted to show our monument, like, the National Monument is getting blown up to, like, show that shock, is just like, I don't think that's going to do it, man. We've seen it. We've seen so many movies about
the
this
most...
stuff. Emmerich's a great example of someone who kind of trivialized everything. Existential disasters. Again, climate change.
I mean,
the slow death of the planet.
We've been fucking
doing that since
Earthquake and the Towering Inferno. Like, I mean, absolutely. I think he might be the first person to blow up the White House. But
yeah.
That might actually be a piece of Hollywood trivia. But anyway.
Yeah. And boy, did he. I remember when
it was
that
so cool, man.
Movie.
It was so fucking cool.
My audience cheered when Independence Day, when the lighthouse exploded.
I mean, it was the button every trailer. Like it was the thing they showed. It was the fucking unbelievable thing that you had to see, a fucking spaceship blowing up the White House. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's terrific.
But I mean, there's an additional wrinkle to that, right? It's not just the White House exploding. It's a spaceship blowing up the White House. So I don't know. I think I think Alex Garland like successfully identified something, but maybe didn't quite pull off his indictment of it that well, because it's clear that like there is this thing in American culture where we're just sort of, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, please chime in, but it feels like we're like uniquely numb to some of this shit in a way that other countries aren't. And a lot of it is because we've never been invaded. Really. I mean, the War of 1812, get the fuck out of here. But other than that, I don't know.
I mean, you saw how we reacted to 9/11, right?
Right. The thrust of this movie is that there's not been a modern military conflict on American soil. And boy, does it fucking show in the way that some people behave. So,
yeah, I mean, neither is a lot of countries also.
I know, but none of them are in the unique position that America is,
where they get to dictate
which wars get fought in the world.
We give it out. We give it out all the time. No, and I think that's the thing is like,
I don't think this is a movie for Americans, honestly. I think it was, but like, I don't know. It was a movie for Americans, but not made by an American. So he didn't understand the cultural stuff necessary. Like, I think you're right.
You know,
fucking
what I would love to see in this
movie?
Made
people notice it more. What's that?
Yeah. Drone strikes.
They mention them, but we need to see them more. Yeah.
I want to see the fear that drones cause. If the idea
is
look at
America's
all these American
losing,
weapons.
So.
I think so. What I had, I guess, hoped is the weird word. What I had expected for this film is some of it to be like, we have all this advanced weaponry that we use on other countries all the time. Well, let's have Americans see what that's like. Like, let's show Americans what that's like. And what
they really
let's show Americans what it's like to have your family killed. You know, like, let's show Americans then what those horrors are like that we are inflicting on other countries.
Yeah, that is a genuine failing because I don't know what he was thinking, but like, the only reason I can think not to include that, because they mention drones. They mention like, oh, what is the president? Has the president's view on using drone strikes against American citizens evolved at all in the past 15 months? But that's all they say about it. I feel like maybe the only reason to omit like a drone strike scene where the characters are fucking hiding from a drone. If you've ever seen them or heard accounts of drone strikes in real life, they're terrifying. It's like being stalked. I feel like the reason he didn't include that was because it would have been too clear who the bad guy was.
Yeah.
And that's a failing, right? Cause like I keep saying, this feels more about Gaza. Well, if he really wanted to make a movie about Gaza, he should have had fucking drone strikes in it.
Yeah, I think so. And if you really want Americans watching a movie to feel what it means to lose someone, I think that you have to do that narratively again. I think you need to
set up a character that you fully expect to have a fully... You need to Aerith that son of a bitch. You need to have her get stabbed by Sephiroth 25 minutes in.
Yeah, I kept thinking about the movie Children of Men.
Yes, when Julianne Moore gets killed in the very beginning. Spoilers. Children of Men.
Children of Men, I think, does a very good job at showing this idea, which is that, or later, that woman who just gets blackbagged and we never see her again. She was a major character. We don't get to see her die.
We see Michael Caine get shot in the background. Like, it's so, pretty much every, even, oh God, we're spoiling all of Children of Men. Even when Clive Owen dies at the end, you don't even really spend time with him. It cuts away
from him. Exactly. And I think that movie did a better job at showing that kind of because
it was following the woman like the football. So it was like as she was getting passed from person to person, so it was just leaving the other people behind because she was the important thing. So it's like that, and that idea is very much present in Civil War, right? Because it's the idea of we have to record this for the people that are left behind. There's something that I wanted to bring up, and I'm glad that I remembered it here right at the end.
Yeah.
The very first thing we see is that EPA truck that's down to give people electricity, I think, and it gets bombed. It gets bombed by somebody.
Much like the opening of Children of Men.
Opening of Children of Men, yes. But it's all this life. Like there's a fully realized pop song playing in the soundtrack. It's all this noise. There's all these people taking photographs. It's a big cluster throng of people. And then the bomb goes off, and it's Saving Private Ryan's us for a brief second. It doesn't do the tinnitus thing for very long, thank God, because I actually have tinnitus. But it just goes completely quiet, and for the remainder of the scene, the only sounds you hear are the shutter clicks of Kaylee Spaney's camera and Kirsten Dunst's camera. So it's like, this is the silence, and in the silence that follows your death, the only thing there's going to be is the documentation of it. Like, that's what that's... So the movie is very much talking about that idea. So it's weird that they didn't include that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of these ideas, but I think he kind of missed it a little bit.
I mean, it's such a big idea, and I think he did a really good job of keeping it as focused as it was. But I do, now that we've talked about it, I think you're right. I think he should have played with the narrative some more.
Yeah. It's a very good movie for what it is. It's very well made.
He should have killed off Dunst or Spaney very early.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that would have been the way to, that would have been one way to do it. Yeah.
Shot her in the head. Or I want the ending to be that the young photographer turns in the photos and they look at it and go, black and white, and they throw them all out. They go, no one shoots
that
black
would have
and white,
been,
you
that
idiot.
Actually would have been really good if they had one last scene where we get to see how much money she got for it, and it's like $300.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're like, you get a credit.
Yeah. That would have been, that, honestly, that would have been a perfect, a really great ending. Like, I think ending that the movie has is really good. But I think that ending would have also been great.
Yeah, I think the ending, again, I like, everything's very well made. It's all like, every scene, individual scene is fascinating. I couldn't look away, right? Obviously. I am still like, that ending still felt weird to me because it just felt like, I was like, oh, was that what we're here for? Like the moment where it's like, and it's done when this happens.
Well, wait,
you know,
you just,
and it's like
you just said you were waiting. You did say that's the thing we were waiting the whole movie to see was them storming the White House and killing the president.
That's why you don't show it. That's why you don't. You take that away. That's what I mean.
Well, I mean,
is the whole movie is about we got to get to the president.
I think he made an attempt, like I described. I think he staged that scene as whack ass and ignoble and wrong as he could.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if we needed to see it at all.
I don't know. I like that we saw it. I personally like that we saw it personally.
Yeah. Well, it's satisfying, right?
Well, it's satisfying to me, not in a fist pumping way, but it's satisfying to me in a conclusion to the story that I think I was being told.
It might have been fascinating. Going back to like maybe his family should have been there. It's such a dark conversation, but it's like maybe they should have shot some children right there too next to him. I think that would have been wild, and
That is another thing this movie leaves out. And again, I have to mention it because I keep saying this movie feels more closely tied to Gaza. We do not see any dead kids.
No, we don't.
That is a huge, huge toll of wars waged in this fashion. That if you really wanted to make a movie about a civil war that's going to shock Americans, you should fucking show that.
Right. And so I think
if
the commentary...
Because that will 1,000% be a cost.
If the commentary is that we always put violence through this movie machine and we see it through a lens, and if it's a satire, if he's doing like the Starship Troopers where he's like, and so am I gonna do that, I don't think that works, because then you just did the thing, right? And so if you're not showing, if you're really not exploring these things like the drone strikes, dead kids, like, you know, more and more brutality, the stuff that's truly going to upset people, then that's why I'm like, I don't know, man. I think maybe this movie is kind of a wash, ultimately.
I don't
kind of peeved a lot of people up, and before an election, it's sort of falling on deaf ears. And maybe, again, maybe like 30 years from now, 20 years from now, if we're still around, we'll look back and go, like, that was a really good movie. That was really good. But I don't think it's effective, ultimately.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't think it's a wash. I think it's an effective movie. I am very curious to see how people outside of America respond to it.
Yeah.
Because
I hope it's
I'm not sure that, like,
that was basically,
releasing this in an American election year is like, I feel like that's kind of part of the indictment of the movie, right? It's like, well, who are you? Like, that's one election. You know what's fucking happening in 2024 already? Like, I don't know. It's like, it's this movie is also like uniquely about how like America can exist like it's the only country in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this movie is very much about that, because they do not mention another country a single time except for Canada once.
Yeah.
Because their currency is better.
Well, they mentioned, he asked where people are from. For the record, that's a funny, so this is a trailer thing. When they say we're Americans, and Jesse Plemons says, what kind of Americans?
Yeah.
And then they cut it in with, you don't know, they don't know. And those are two different conversations. He was asking her why, where she's from is the show me state. And so what he's actually
Missouri is the show me state.
Yeah. He's specifically asking a guy if he's from South America or here, because he's shooting everybody who just says, I'm not, like, who basically isn't American. That's what he's doing in that scene.
Joel says, I'm American. He's like, Central, South. And he says,
American
Florida.
Are you? Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting, because the trailer makes it a different question in a weird way, where it's like, what side are you on? And it's not about, like, that's what I thought made that scene even more interesting. And what made Jesse Plemons so terrifying is that, like, you don't really know what he wants.
You don't know what he's after
at first, because when he says what America, you think like, if someone says the wrong state, is he going to shoot him? Then you realize, like, no, as long as you're just from a state, he's not going to shoot
because, you. Because Joel says Florida, which is one of the secessionist states. And he's like, okay. And then Spaney says Missouri. And then he goes into the show me state question. And then Dunst says Colorado. All three of those are secessionist states, I believe, in the film.
And you realize, he doesn't care. What does he care about?
At least Florida. Florida definitely is a secessionist state in the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he doesn't care about that. And then, like, the stuff, like, you don't know. It's actually, interestingly, in the movie, he's asking her why they call Missouri the show me state. And she says, I don't know. And he says, you don't know? You don't have any idea? Yeah, that's pretty American. So it's like, it's not like he's agreeing that that's an American thing to be completely ignorant of a thing, which feeds into the theme of the movie, Dave, in addition to being a great little bit for that thriller scene, because we don't know what he's after.
That scene is incredible.
It's an incredible fucking scene. I was waiting for him the whole movie. And as soon as he showed up, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that scene started. I'm like, this is a good scene. This is tense.
I knew he was coming when they showed the other two guys, because I was like, Jesse Plemons is definitely going to kill some people in his scene. And they bring up these two guys like 30 minutes of the movie. They're just like, hey, we're having a great time. And I'm like, oh, you are dead meat.
Yeah, those two guys are going to die. Yeah.
You are two dead dudes. And sure enough, that's what happens.
Although I will say that, like, out of our core cast of four characters, two of them die. It's probably not the two you expect.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, it's to half, be honest.
I mean, it's definitely one half of them.
Yeah, I mean, and he dies heroically again.
Yeah, yeah. Heroically, but also not. Like, it is, but like when they're looking at the aftermath of his death, when he's just a dead body in a car.
Right.
And they're just watching these people clean the blood off and carry a stretcher up and very officially load him out of the car. Like, I had a similar experience when I watched them carry my mom out of the house when she passed. It's like this weird, it's fucking weird when it happens. And like, I experienced that again. And I'm sure it was intentional, because he staged it very much that way. Like, it's preceded by there being very emotional that Sammy is dead. And then it cuts to the very official antiseptic implications of him being dead. Well, that means four guys have to load him onto a stretcher. It means we have to clean out the car. It means we have to do X, Y, and Z, you know. He becomes a bunch of forms as opposed to a person.
Right. I think it would have been more powerful, and going back to Children of Men, where people are just killed, if he was one of the people that Jesse Plemons just executed. I think that's the more powerful, like, shocking thing, right? Is to have a character just sort of, like, killed for nothing. Like, I think... you could argue that, I think that's what it is about the ending, is that she gets the shot and that means it's all for something. You know what I mean? Like, it's technically like, oh, they did it all.
One of
like,
them says that saying. Line. One of them says that line. Like, if right, we don't get the shot, it means Sammy died for nothing.
Right. And maybe Sammy should have died for nothing. Maybe that would have been more powerful. You know, like
somebody probably should have, one of the main characters should have probably.
I think so. I don't know. Like, I really liked, like I said, I enjoyed the movie.
I mean, this still,
scene by
this
scene,
still,
it's very good.
Like, this movie made me think a lot of different things about a lot of different things. Like, this yeah. movie, to me, was a decently, I don't want to say profound, because it wasn't, it didn't really, well, it gave me some new, it gave me new perspective on some things that I already knew and or suspected.
Right.
So
it's well made. Again, it's very well made. It might be one of his best made movies. Watching it in combination with watching it with a very packed theater and a very active audience, that's what it is. So I came out of the movie very conflicted. And like when I got home, like I was like sitting there for a second thinking about it, and I was thinking about it. I was very quiet. I've been thinking about it for, you know, a day.
Probably a sign of a halfway decent movie.
For sure. But what I was thinking about, what was eating at me, was the movie I watched compared to the audience I was in, where it was like no different than if we were watching a Marvel
film. That's the indictment, isn't it?
Exactly. Yep. And that's why I came out of the movie ultimately going, and then looking online at all the chatter, all the people, the Andy Ngo stuff, yep. which is very upsetting in a movie that's also kind of politically, trying to be politically neutral.
Again, it's like, but they sourced footage from Andy Ngo.
Yes. But that's such a, that's like, again, I don't think it's, they did it on purpose, but that's such a bummer when you're also trying to be politically vague, because, you know, there's this pattern of centrism always kind of leaning towards fascists, right? And so to be politically vague, and then it's like
centrism really only helps fascists, but yes.
Exactly. And that's the thing. This movie at least helped a fascist propagandist get a credit. Get a little more legitimate, right? Maybe he got paid for it a little bit. And so, like, there's that on top of it, on top of, like, coming out of this movie and going, like, this was really well made. I'm not sure it worked. Like, I'm not sure this movie worked. And in fact, I'm worried now that it did more bad than good. Because I don't know if it worked. And seeing all the chatter around the politics, the fact that it's a civil war, like, it almost feels like there's so many different loud things in the movie that whatever message he wanted to get out is just buried. That's my worry about this movie.
Here's the last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
There is a shot of an overpass in Pittsburgh that has Go Steelers spray painted on it and two human bodies hung underneath it.
Yes.
That's the movie. And I'm done. I have nothing else to say.
I have nothing else to say. Again, I do want to stress, don't take black and white photos, folks.
If no, you're take a color photos, you jabroni, if you want to make money.
Such a fucking art shit thing to do, going through her black and white photos.
Try to be an artiste. Try to make some money.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Throw out that photo of the president getting shot.
Yeah.
Black
don't
and white,
need
come
it.
On.
Send it to Turner. Send it to Ted Turner to colorize it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing else. I was hoping we'd have a very good conversation about this movie, and I think we did.
I think we did,
yeah, because this is kind of a big one. A lot of emotions around this movie, and I still kind of come out of it in this mix of emotions.
Yes, but I the one thing that I well, not the one thing, but one thing I still feel very confidently saying resolutely is that this is not an apolitical film.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that's the one criticism I keep seeing. Again, so like, yeah, so The idea that even the reporters aren't political. At the end, he's standing over the president and he says, "Can I get a quote?" And he says, "Don't let them kill me." And he's like, "That'll do."
He just wants to document it.
Wants that motherfucker to die, I think. Because I think one of the things the movie comes down on, and I was really happy it does this, is that the reason why it's not apolitical is because I think we are absolutely meant to look at the president and go, this is his failing. Fuck him, right? He is, like you said, Muammar Gaddafi. He is the tyrant, right? And I was very scared.
I was referring
more
to the images of Muammar Gaddafi being dragged into the street and dismembered.
Oh, yeah, but they're treating him. They even compare him that way to like a dictator. They say like,
well,
like
Sammy mentions it as in this is what you're going to see.
Right. But I think there's no question as to the fact that the president is the problem. You know what I mean?
I disagree, but...
Really?
Yeah, it's...
He's going for a third term.
He's going for a third term.
He dissolved the FBI.
Like, it's unclear what ultimately...
That to me says this is a tyrant.
But we don't know if he... I mean, FDR went for four terms. It wasn't illegal yet, but like extenuating circumstances, like I could see them electing... We don't know if he was elected for a third term while the war was happening. Like, it's... I don't know. I don't think it's... I think it's clear he was right-wing, but...
I also think the characters don't give a fuck about him. I think the characters...
Yes, they're clearly past the point of giving a fuck. Like, it's been going on for long enough.
They want this guy to die. I think that's the vibe I got where they're like, yeah, fuck this guy. Like, he failed. You know,
They're definitely not sentimental about the president being killed, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so that's... The vibe I got is that... I saw some stuff about them being like the reporters being impartial. They never felt impartial to me because correct me if I'm wrong, but they're almost always when they're reporting, they're almost always with Western forces, right?
No.
Oh, really?
No, they're usually with the army.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was hard to tell the difference.
The only
sometimes.
Time they aren't is in the very end.
When they storm the White House?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I guess they were
again, and I think that's intentional because it's like when they get to Plemons, like they're like when they see that he's holding Spaney and the other guy, they're like, well, we'll just go down there and that like they're U.S. forces, we'll be able to show them our press passes. And Sammy's like, no, they will fucking shoot you. Like, I am getting a death vibe from those.
Oh,
he says is those guys are doing things that they don't want people to see.
That's interesting because they never are met with resistance. Like, they just sort of show up on the front lines and then... Because he does give that warning, but it's...
Well, because they go in with the Western forces. Like, they go in when the Capitol's been breached. There's nobody checking IDs at the Capitol anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they make it clear that like journalists getting into D.C. is like they're executing journalists in D.C., which is another hint and a half that it's a right-wing president.
Right. It feels like it's part of the allied states or whatever, the president's side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technically. Mm-hmm. But it's just clear that they have no allegiance to him.
Yeah, it's just, we're Americans. We're just trying to live.
Right.
That's every one of these fucking conflicts, right? It's like, we're just trying to fucking live in this country when whoever's in charge of the government decides to stop shooting at each other and figure out who's in charge now.
Right, that happens. There's a scene with a sniper where they basically
great
state
scene.
That. Oh, yeah, where they're like,
who's giving you your orders? There's
who's
nobody giving us our orders. There's a guy in that house shooting at us. We're trying to
and
shoot.
We're going
to
shoot him.
And I love, like, at the end of, like, the sniper hasn't said a thing. They're just crouching down, talking to his spotter the whole time, trying to figure out what's going on. And the sniper finally says, will you guys shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
And then he pulls the trigger and says, I've got great news. And then the scene ends and they're just on the road. So you know what's happening. He killed the guy and they were able to get out of there.
Great scene.
Great scene.
This movie is really well made.
It's very well made. I mean, it's a road. Yeah. It's ultimately it's a road trip movie. So it's just a series of sketches, really, about the end of America.
Yeah.
And what that might look like. Yeah. I don't need to say anything else about it. I've probably gotten into deep trouble with lots of people now.
I don't think we've said anything controversial.
Not anything more controversial than this film, Dave. The most controversial film of the season.
We should invade Canada.
Probably.
I mean, I don't think that's controversial either, to be honest.
No, we should just take it.
They've been up there long enough, looming over us.
In this movie, their money's worth more than ours. That's not right.
No, get them. All right, folks. Listen, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. We watch movies every Friday night. That's a big thing we do. You can watch movies with us. It's not just me and Tom. I'm not just advertising that me and Tom watch movies together. No, we have a movie night on Discord. We also have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys. Those are all for $5 a month. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Give it a look-see.
Give it an old spin. We also have a store. Head over to gamefullyunemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your little telephoto peepers onto that.
Mm-hmm.
They have very long lenses in this film.
Too long.
Well, I mean, you want them if you're on the front lines.
Too long.
Means
that's
you don't
why
have to
they
be that
died.
Close. That's but why. That means it's keeping them at arm's length, Dave. Arm's length from humanity at all times.
Right. They need a GoPros. Just get a fucking GoPro, guys.
Get a fucking drone. Why were there no drones?
Yeah. GoPros.
Start the
and
whole
drones.
Conversation all over again. Was that
skateboards? Skateboards as well.
Yeah. RC cars.
Them on skateboards. Oh yeah.
Dolphins. Put cameras onto dolphins. Will win the Civil War.
We should watch Aquaman.
We should.
Hey, listen, our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can find him on Twitter.com as The Corlew or go to shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Our episode artwork is by Justin Brown, available on Twitter as Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork is by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or on Twitter as StarleneX. Cool. Goodbye.